And welcome to another Nine Circles audio thing. I'm your host, Buke, and I am joined today by Mr. Stefan Winterhall of Falconer. He is the guitarist for one of my most favorite bands in the world, long-running power metal band from Sweden. They are just about to release their new album, From a Dying Ember, this Friday, June 26th. If you're hearing this, it's probably already out. So I highly recommend you go check it out. Stefan, how's everything going today, sir?
Everything's just fine, thank you.
Good to hear, sir. Good to hear. Thank you for joining me. So we, for people who might not know Falconer, you guys now are about to release your eighth or ninth? I'm trying to do the math here.
Ninth album, that's right.
Yeah, your ninth album here. And I have to say, you guys are not slowing down at all. How do you find the From a Dying Ember album turned out? Because you guys, in my opinion, have continued this stretch of more of a metal, of a heavier sound that you've brought into the band on your previous couple. So From a Dying Ember, when did you guys hit the studio and decide to do a follow-up to Black Moon Rising that released back in 2014?
We entered the studio in February this year.
Okay.
And you said that we haven't slowed down, but I think that for the last albums, it's taken more and more years between the albums, actually. And I don't really have any good answer for it. I mean, the jobs and the kids and families and everything. So there's too much distraction, so to speak, or too many other obligations and the priorities, of course. So. But this will be the ninth and the final album for the band. I don't know if you read the news last week that we're gonna end the band after the release.
Yeah, I saw that, and I wanted to touch on that. I was gonna hit that a little later because I didn't want to end on a somber note. But yeah, let's get that out of the way. Like I mentioned before I hit the record button, I never, in all the artists and bands I've interviewed over the years, I've never dressed up for an interview. But I'm wearing my Falconer shirt that was purchased at the Prog Power back in 2015.
You were there.
Yeah, I had a friend who was there, so I was there in spirit.
Okay. One of the few shows that I think that we did quite good. I don't really consider us being a live band at any time, but yeah, each time we played, I mean, we played a couple of festivals maybe each or every second year, so we were like beginners each time, but the Prog Power show was, well, it felt quite good, actually. We didn't feel that much of a beginner, but I mean, everything about Prog Power, the reception and the fans, and I mean, everything was so really good.
Yeah, I've heard that's a real passionate show. The sells out really quick every year. You know, my friend who is gone has been there to every single one except one. Like, people travel worldwide to go to that show, and it's a fan base that just eats up the lineup. It's interesting that you said that this was your guys' last album, in addition to, you know, this Prog Power show. Where I was reading in the notes that when you guys did your final live show, you said you guys never associated yourself with a live show. And it was, you know, but just like you had touched on, between jobs and families and stuff like that, was playing live for you guys always I hate to use the word awkward, but was it that it just maybe, because for fans who don't know you, you have a history in Mithethin back in the day, you know, a real classic Swedish Viking metal band, almost in a sense, real great stuff. Your guys' old album, I'm trying to, what's it, the Gather Round album?
Yeah, Gather Round the Oaken Table.
Oh, my goodness. What an album. What an album for the ages. But
yeah, I think it sounded quite good back then. But I mean, Mithethin, we played, I think, maybe 4 gigs in really? Total. So we weren't really that active on the live scene either.
Okay. So I say this because you and all your bandmates in Falconer here is, you know, there's, as a guy who doesn't play any instruments and stuff, I just love music. I would assume that playing live is almost what you guys live for. Was that is that something that you guys just, you just love this aspect of recording and just playing music, and that's what gets you, your guys' excitement? You don't need the on stage aspect of it?
Well, of course, we're 5 guys in the band, and I can't really speak for all of them, but
okay.
Personally, I consider myself more of a creative musician, more of a songwriter, and I mean, being a performer, that's something completely different. So, I mean, guys who play in a cover band, that's totally, I can't understand that. What do they get out of that? It's not music, it's just playing an act.
Yeah,
the song, that's what I'm in for.
I got you. Okay.
I mean, standing on stage trying to be someone you're not and running around just trying to be Bruce Dickinson. No, that's not me. I'd rather just be home writing new songs.
Oh, I love that description. So you love the, it sounds like you just love the art of just writing the music, and that's where you really get your enjoyment from.
I would love more to make a living as a songwriter than a band member in a performing band, so to speak.
Okay. So you know what you need to be? You can be the Bernie Taupin. You need to find yourself an Elton John, and then you can really be like the Bernie Taupin of the metal world.
Yeah, of course. And make it big time now when I'm approaching 45 years old. That's
time, hey, you know, yeah, you know what? My God, if Bernie sure hooked himself onto a nice little meal ticket there, huh? Jeez.
So,
you know, I got to say about this. It's funny you mentioned about the creative crisis there, because in 2011, you guys released Armada. Did I say that correctly?
Armada.
Armada. And that album was all in Swedish, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Except for a couple of bonus songs, which we just translated or made a second version of.
Exactly.
But the original album was complete in Swedish.
And that's really interesting to me, because my favorite band is listeners on the show always here, and I always find a way probably to bring them up, and they hate me for it. But I'm an Opeth fan. Opeth is my favorite band in the world.
Okay.
I mentioned that because Opeth, on their last album, they released a version also all in Swedish. And where I'm going with that is, as somebody from Sweden and something, and how was it to release an album in your native language? Because it was interesting to me that Opeth's choice in doing that. And then when I was prepping for this, so I've totally remembered you guys did the same thing.
Yeah, and I think Sabaton did it a couple of years after us too. And I mean, both Sabaton and Opeth are so much bigger bands, so I think they have more to lose on doing something like that, because they, I mean, English of course sells album.
Of course.
And like Falcon, we can pretty much do what we want. We sell the same amount of albums anyway. But of course, we play quite folkish music, and a lot of lyrics are based around the Scandinavian history and so on. So I think it's quite a natural step to try and sing in Swedish. We did it on the first album for one track. And I mean, after I think we've done 5 or 6 albums, it was really time to do something completely different. And then, okay, let's go all in on the folk and melodies and sing completely in Swedish. So it's just a forced way to do something different.
That is so interesting. And you know, the real cool, a cool little caveat to that, before this virus took over the world, and you know, we were all on lockdown. I still, like, the last public thing I went to, I saw Opeth back in February. An interesting note to that, when they played their new songs off the album, they actually played them in Swedish. They played the Swedish version. So that was really, really cool.
Yeah.
So they, that was,
but they did Swedish songs, actually.
Yes. So I have to ask, how is it? I've always wondered, you know, when I try and explain to people the music I listen to, I'm like, yeah, I love metal. I love Swedish metal. And, you know, you and I could list bands upon bands after bands, all from your native country that are just dominating the world of metal, from power metal bands to death metal bands, the greats of all time. You know, this is me maybe being as a naive American metalhead over here, but are there just, what is it about Sweden that they just produce so many great metal bands? Is it the Viking history with you guys? Is it just a small dark country that just releases so, like, people are just want to be write cool metal music?
Yeah, I don't really know, actually. Some people say that it might depend on the weather, and I mean, it's dark during 6 or 7 months of the year, but I mean, then Canada would have equally the number of bands. But in Sweden, we pay, I think it's 32% of the income to tax.
Oh, so maybe you guys are just angry.
No. I mean, the money goes to a lot of the times, I must say, to good stuff. And one of those things are some kind of state-financed music school, a place where you can hire a room and hire instrument really, really, really cheap. Because, I mean, our tax system pays a bit of it. So anyone can actually start a band and start rehearsing without spending that much money.
Okay.
And that's my only take on it, that it that might be
the picture. I live for heavy metal, and then when I'm not listening to metal, I'm watching ice hockey, and a lot of times I'm watching hockey with heavy metal in the background, and some of my favorite hockey players are from Sweden. So I have met some hockey players from Sweden, and I feel like an idiot because I asked them out of the blue, hey, you ever heard of so-and-so and so-and-so? And they look at me because I think, oh, just because you're from small Sweden, you should know every metal band on.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're about 9 or 10 million in Sweden, but we don't know each other anyway.
Yeah. So going back to From a Dying Ember here, again, released on Metal Blade Records this coming 26. How do you feel that this wraps up the Falconer lineage here? Do you feel happy putting the bed to rest after this album here?
Yes, I feel very content with it, and I think that the final album really sums up what we've done during the 20 years. I think you can find the aspects and sounds from throughout our entire career, I think. Yeah. And that was pretty much the idea to start with when I decided that this would be the final album, that we'll have all the elements back and just focus on each element one at a time. So I haven't really been this satisfied in a long time, I think, because the decision to end the band actually sparked my creativity, so to speak. I knew that it was now or never. It was not just yet another album.
Well, how do you, bands in this day and age, my God, you know, you, of course, know the industry way better than I do. Bands will never even get one album, you know, to take off and stuff like this. Looking back on it, you know, maybe to a family member or, you know, to the bandmate, you know, like Carsten or somebody, can you guys take a step back and say, my God, look what we just did here. We were able to keep this ship going for 20 years. You know, we've made it through digital music taking off. You know, we've made it through people in Russia probably pirating our music and putting it on Napster and stuff. And, you know, we have made it through this, and here we are about to release our ninth album. Like, my God, like the sun is setting on you guys pretty well.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that we could also have made it way bigger or experienced more things throughout our careers. We really would have taken the tours and really tried to promote ourselves and so on. I'm sure that we would have sold way more albums and played more gigs and so on, but we were quite content or lazy. I don't know which. We were just content with the recording albums, and that's it. We didn't really want to spend half our lives in a touring bus. That's not something for me.
You know, is there, you know, you just touched on it there. Is looking back on the career of Falconer and your music, you know, of course, this is not your life. You know, we all have other careers and stuff like that. Is there one thing maybe you wish you would have done differently, or maybe you and the guys have talked about it, that, hey, if maybe we just would have done this, things would have been different? Are there maybe some early missteps around, like, the Chapters from a Veil Forlorn area, or Grime, or maybe are there missteps?
I think some fans think that I would say that it was a mistake to exchange Matthias as a vocalist back in 2003.
Okay.
But it felt right back then, and some of those stuff we did meanwhile was really, really good. So I don't regret it, but of course it would have been interesting to see where we would have been today if we had acted like every other band, just trying to tour as much as possible and making music videos and promoting ourselves on social media and stuff like that, just to try to become as big as possible. How far could we have taken it back then? But it's certainly nothing that I regret.
I tell you what, you know, it's you mentioned it, you know, for, you know, we can all look at it now. We can't obviously go back and change time. But us, you know, me here in the States, even before the internet is what it was, I remember going on at the time, you know, I don't even know if there's still a thing. They probably are, Blabbermouth, and everybody, that's where we would always get our news from. It was pretty big news around the time when you guys did the little vocalist change there. And I thought for a while, I was like, that's it. I'm done. Falconer's dead to me now.
Yeah, you and many others. And I think the album we did right after that one was Scepter of Deception, and nothing is really good with that album, but that it doesn't really depend on Christopher as a vocalist, because my songs was not up to par, and the music, you know, the sound of the album wasn't up to par either. It was just unfocused, I would say. Because Grime vs. Grandeur is a really good album, although it doesn't really sound like Falconer, but it's still quality music, I think.
What a interesting take. I really appreciate you sharing your history. But From a Dying Ember here, there are songs on this album that really, I think, run the gambit of sounds that you guys have brought in throughout the years. Like, even the way you guys close the album with Rapture, my God, it's like it's you leave fans wanting for more. Like, can you talk more about like this from a Dying Ember here? How do you feel everything came about with this album here? Do you feel that you really knocked it out of the park here as a fan of you guys says you did?
Yes, I think so. I didn't think that I would that we would make this of a good album. I didn't expect that, and of course, Rapture is the perfect song to close the album with, since I wrote it with Carl from Mithotin. So it is actually like a Mithotin song, but with Matthias on vocals. So that really closes the chapter in a perfect way.
You know, we have seen bands go away and then they come back and they come back and they come back.
Yes.
I'm
to
not
trying to get some money from it.
Exactly. We can look at, you know, of course, they're on their own level, but I swear Slayer came around my area on like 3 farewell tours. are we going to see a Falconer come back and make, Stefan, do you see yourself maybe getting bored? I guess what I'm asking is, do you have other things, family or something. Like, how are you going to be able to get this love of writing music satisfied if we're not getting new Falconer releases?
Well, that was part of the reason I felt that I started maybe to lose some interest in music. Because I knew okay. too well how to make this kind of music. And then it just, I just came to think of it. No, I just want to make different kind of music, not Falconer's music. I'm done with that.
Okay, that's really interesting. So
play this much around with music as I do now, but I don't have any clear direction in which way I'm going to go with. So as long as it's something different.
Is this just one of those things? I guess if, maybe to use the term like analogy, if you're like a hunter or a fisherman, if you've taken every game around the world that you can, I guess by the end of the day, you're like, that's it. I've pretty much done it all. And I guess with a 20-year career of Falconer and 9 albums later, what could you really do? And before it kind of gets maybe boring and stale,
maybe tap out now. I don't want to sound like we've conquered the world or anything, but I think that I've done everything that I can with Falconer, and it's not really that inspiring to do yet another album sounding the same, using the same chords and singing about the same medieval stuff.
Now, of course,
if I do something different, I don't know if there's going to be a record deal or if I will get 10 songs together that sounds somewhat similar. But I'd rather be without a record deal making music happy instead of just safing it out and doing Falconer songs because we happen to have a record deal.
And is everybody in the band kind of sharing your same opinion here? Is everybody in the band, was there any kickback from any band members about this?
Yeah, everyone. No, I don't think that all of them agreed with me. Some of them did because Jimmy said that I have so much other things to do now. I don't know if I have the time to do the guitar solos. But then when we recorded the album, it was, okay, I've got all the time in the world. But so, I mean, I made the decision, and Kirsten and Jimmy was quite with me, I think. And of course, Matthias, his schedule is quite full anyway. But I know that Magnus, the bassist, really wanted us to continue and starting to play live again. But I mean, he's a quite social guy, so he wants to be out there meeting people and experience stuff.
So, you know, like we see so often, I think, you know, we just saw it with Children of Bodom, like Bodom After Midnight. Are we going to see like Magnus's Falconer or something?
I don't think so. You can never say what happens in the future if we're going to do something else in maybe 5 or 10 years, but it's no plans whatsoever right now.
You know, it's fun to hear this. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that you guys from start to finish have worked with Andy LaRock, who of King Diamond fame, who recorded the album, has done an amazing job on it. How's your experience been working with him throughout the years? Obviously has to be a pleasant one if you've gone back to the well, the same one every time.
Yeah, but I mean, we're as a band is quite if we like something, we like to return to it. I mean, we've used Andy for all the albums and also Jan Meininghaus, who's done all our covers.
Which is amazing, which is how I first found you guys, too. When I saw your self-titled album cover, I'm sure you've heard it from fans before. Like, literally, you grab that album cover and it's like, wow, this is badass.
Yeah, but of course, when you started to record with Andy back in, I think we recorded the second Mythotin album at his place, then it was quite intimidating because, I mean, he's a rock hero, rock star. And then we come like 20 years old, we can barely play our instruments. So it's not that easy, but I mean, this is 20 years later and we know him very, very good. And I mean, he's one of the nicest people that I've ever met, and perfect in the studio. And we know each other that well, so it really runs as smooth as it possibly can. So yeah, I have only good words to say about Andy. And I must mention that I'm not really a King Diamond fan, but I love his works with Death, Chuck Schuldiner's Death. I mean, that album is just super, one of the best death metal albums ever.
Okay, I totally agree there. How did you, because, you know, I have had conversations with my friends before and other metalheads. Power metal seems very, you know, it can split the fan base, like metalheads. You know, metalheads, we're such an accepting group. If it's not if it's not black metal and you're a black metal fan, they hate it. Yeah. If it's not death metal and you're a death metal guy, you don't like it. How did you decide to go from like that mythosin sound to, hey, we're going to start doing like a power metal sound? How did that come about?
Well, during the end of Mythosin, I realized that I don't listen to this kind of music myself. So I want to try to make the kind of music I listen to, which was like Gamma Ray, Iron Maiden, and stuff like that. And I tried, and it sounded like Falconer.
Okay.
So, I was a bit disappointed because it sounded too nice, too melodic, and not enough metal. But okay. I mean, it was just as the Mythosin kind of music, but with clean vocals. So okay. When we released the first album, I knew that, okay, the music sounds a bit strange. And then we have this vocalist that sounds even stranger. So I wonder how people's going to take this. But I mean, rave reviews and everything. So I was really shocked when we released it.
You know, it's so, you just mentioned it too. In the metal world, just in music as a whole, when they do something different, they stand out. And I think your choice for vocalist really had you guys stand out right from the very start.
Yeah, of course.
Because like as a guy who loves like musical theater, it was such an easy fit when I first found you guys, because, you know, if it's a death metal band or it's a black metal band or even a power metal to a large extent, there's so many bands that are rubber stamped, the same band over and over again, or the same sound over and over again. Right from the start, your vocalist was how you guys stood out from so many bands doing the same type of music.
Yeah, and you can only thank Matthias for that. But
yes.
Feel that good about it at the time because, well, the music didn't sound like every other band, and that was a bad thing because normal heavy metal or power metal was what we really aimed for. But I mean, the music comes out in my kind of way, so
yes.
It sounded too much like Stefan's music, and that's not really what I aimed for, but I can't really run from myself, so to speak.
And my God, you know, we go back to talk about power metal and fellow countrymen and stuff. Talk about like a round table of like kings of power metal that you guys could be seated with. Falconer would have a chair. Dream Evil would have a chair. Hammerfall would have a chair. Like, you guys, you know, you might not pat yourself on the back, but you guys will go down as one of the best power metal bands of all time. I am saying it. As power metal is my favorite genre, you guys will go down as one of the greats of all time.
Thank you very much.
You know, you guys, I don't know if you've ever met the gentleman from Lost Horizon at all. And they released two amazing albums in the early 2000s, Awaken the World and The Flame to the Ground Beneath, which are some of my most favorite albums of all time. Yeah. People in the power metal community beg for them to come back. But you guys, I'm telling you, will go down as a band like them that people just always love. So it's really cool to be talking to you right now as you guys are kind of wrapping things up in your world.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I hope that we will be remembered, of course. And I will certainly remember a lot of things during this, these 20 years. And
Is there maybe a memory or two of being in the band for this long that really sticks out with you? Was it maybe seeing, you know, people from around the world sharing pictures of you guys or wearing your merchandise, or maybe some memories that stick out?
Yeah, I mean, since we never really was a touring band, each show was something really special. We never got used to it. But I remember the first time we played on the festival stage. I mean, back in 2002 was our third show ever. And
wow.
To see a couple of thousand people singing the songs that I have a year ago just written in my kitchen, that's that's a really, really strange feeling. And I mean, yeah. The signing lines at the Prog Power, for example, I mean, I think we sat there for 1 or 2 hours just signing albums and T-shirts and taking pictures with fans. And then on the next Monday, you're back at work just driving your forklift truck yet again. It's a really strange kind of life. One day you're a rock star and next day you're no one.
Yeah. You know, do your coworkers, do they know, you know, of course, you know, we make conversation, but do your coworkers know about this side of you? Because, like, you know, it is funny. Like, we mentioned, like, this isn't our, like, normal income and stuff like this. But, like, Matt Barlow of Iced Earth fame, you know, he left Iced Earth and he went to become a law enforcement officer here in the States. And, okay. You know, when he left Iced Earth, he came back for a short time. And he would be a officer, you know, during the week. And then go play big Iced Earth shows and then go back to putting on the uniform and stuff like that. And I always wonder if his coworkers knew, like, this amazing figure in the metal world who they were working with. So do your coworkers know about this side of you?
Most of my coworkers know that I play in a band and the name of the band. And I don't really talk that much about it, but on some occasions they've looked us up on YouTube, for example. Oh my God, you played in Germany and the States and blah blah blah, this and that.
That's cool. Is with your guys' album about to come here, is there a track that you're most proud of off of From a Dying Ember? Is you have a favorite?
The first track I wrote for this one was Kings and Queens, and that's one of the best on the albums, I think. And of course, the ballad Rejoice the Adorned is one of the best songs I've ever written. And yeah, I barely play on the song myself, but I mean, it's just a perfect ballad.
What does that say? Oh God, please don't think that's a slight on you and your playing.
No, it's just the perfect kind of ballad, I think. I mean, Matthias have never fitted into one of my songs as good as it did on that slow and mellow piano track. It's just perfect. He really, his voice really shines on that one.
Yeah. How did you, can you quickly mention, how did you guys first find him? Because is it one of those things, like, did you hear him sing or something, or did he try out that, like, you guys couldn't ask him to join fast enough?
And no, actually I had recorded a 4-track demo myself, me and the drum machine.
And, oh, I mean, really? You and a drum machine?
Dr. Rhythm 660 is the name of it. But, I mean, the town I live in, we have about 10,000 inhabitants. And okay. I knew there was maybe one or two metal vocalists, but they didn't really fit the style and they really wasn't good enough. I wanted a singer that could carry a tone, not just sound metal, but sing it good. So I thought that, okay, I'm gonna ask the guy who owns the local music store if he knows of any singer. And not really, but yeah, my son sings, but he's into theaters and musicals, and he won't probably fit you, but you can get his number. And I just wanted someone who could carry a tone and sing the lyrics. So yeah. I called him up, and yeah, it sounded very strange from the beginning. I remember that I gave him, I heard that he could sing, but yeah, this don't sound metal. So I gave him a couple of Accept albums and Judas Priest, and yeah, listen to this. Wow. And I don't think he listened to the albums at all. You haven't mentioned it after that, but yeah, it's a perfect mix. Out of the, I think the reason was that I didn't have anyone else to go to, and when I found that he sings perfectly, a bit strange, but yeah, we'll try it.
He, you know, it's funny you mentioned he sings a bit strange. You know, we here in the States, I'm sure it's an international thing, but we have Renaissance fairs. You know, where you dress up in the Renaissance period. You know, he's. This is no slight on him, but Matthias is almost like a Renaissance. You could see him dressed up every weekend singing at a Renaissance fair.
A bard or something.
Exactly. Yeah, as a bard or something. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he really fits the concept. And a lot of people have said that he sounds like Ian Anderson from Jethrotal. And I can't really say why, but I mean, Jethrotal is my favorite band. So maybe it's the kind of melodies I write because of Jethrotal and then Matthias' voice upon that. I have no idea.
You know, it's, well, hey, whatever it is, it's worked. And I tell you, like I mentioned earlier, it has to be that unique sound that you guys have. And, you know, as we talk about, you know, this is the final album for you guys. You guys, you know, it's, how would you like to be remembered for a band that doesn't tour? That's not what you guys really have ever been about. Just on Spotify alone, you guys get 160,000 monthly listens. So that's a cool little note there for a band that's really never gotten out there. That you guys are still up there with some of the greats.
Yeah, I'm really thankful for it because we've actually never worked for it. So we don't deserve that many. So many other bands that really try to promote themselves and so on. But I mean, if it sound like everyone else, you're not going to get anywhere anyway. So,
yeah, and it's nice that you mentioned that too, because you, it's what's really coming through talking to you is you've written and you've played the music that you just like to just play. You guys just play what you like, and you know what? It just so happens to be that people around the world like it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so many bands, it seems, try and play to what obviously will pay the bills, and it doesn't sound like you guys have ever cared to do
that. No, we haven't. But of course, if you're a band that just barely can live out of the music, then of course you need to play the kind of music that ensures you that you can play the bill next year too. Otherwise, okay, I gotta take a part-time job to pay the bills now. So if you just barely can live from the music, then you have to be some kind of a musical horse, so to speak. Something that comes with it. And I think it would have happened to Falconer too. Because then you have to choose which leg to stand on if you have the opportunity.
We have
never tried to take that step so we can just make the music we want.
Yeah, I have had nothing but great experiences with them. Like I've interviewed Brian Schlegel before. Their PR team is absolutely amazing. From the start, you've been with Metal Blade, right?
Yeah.
You guys are with them. How has your experience been with them? Because they obviously are one of the longest running metal labels. They were there. You know, Brian was there from the start.
Yeah, yeah. We've had a really, really good run. And I can't really say that we've had that much to do with the label because, I mean, Falcon has mostly just been about recording albums. So I've sent them an email every third year and said that, okay, now we're ready for the studio. Okay, send the material, blah, 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 we'll pay for it. Okay, then that's it.
Yeah.
A couple of years goes by and then the same procedure.
Kind of like that old rusted car in the yard that the grass has grown up around it. Yeah, Falconer's still here. Here we are.
Yeah, exactly. nothing happens on the Facebook page either. I mean, I think it's gone like 2 or 3 years between the updates. But I mean, we've been completely free for Metal Blade to do what we want. They have never really forced us to go in this or that direction or remaster the album or anything. We've just done what we've wanted and they've agreed. So,
which is so interesting that you guys. This is no disrespect or no slight on you, but for a band that has really done so little, and again, no, that's not a slight on you or any disrespect, but a band that does, you know, so little in that aspect, because, you know, for bands that this is their full-time job and this is their livelihood, they are grinding at it to make sure that they're up and talked about on every platform and social media and everything. Yeah. You guys are really, you know, as successful as you are, it's almost all just my kind of word of mouth. This is all just happening.
Yeah, and that's normal for me. I don't know how it works with other bands, but of course, if the record labels see that, okay, we can push 50,000 copies now, then they have to push the band into promoting the album. And I think that Metal Blade sees that Falcon's never gonna tour anyway, so there's not really any reason to push them into doing something because it's not gonna go anywhere in anyway.
Well, okay, now for fans, you know, who will be hearing this, like myself, who, you know, read the news, you know, last week about this is it for you guys, what do you have to say to fans like myself and others around the world whose hearts may be broken, like a sweetheart, like somebody's sweetheart going off to war, wondering if we'll ever see you again? You know,
I don't know.
What do you have to say to those fans who wonder if they're ever hear from you again, musically?
Maybe sorry. I can't really say anything because I don't know what I'm going to do in the future either.
Okay.
What kind of music it's going to be. I'm going to just try to not make what I know at the moment. But I mean, I know metal. I know how to make riffs and make this kind of music. So eventually I think that I will return in some kind of way to metal music. But I'm just going to force myself into try to do things differently, taking other kind of paths, using other kind of tools to make music, just to have fun, not really
anything. Sorry to step on you there. But also though, in this internet world that we live in with Bandcamp and SoundCloud and every other musical avenue, people will find you if you wanted to. Let's just say, hey, you know, if you're married or not, you know, you talk to your wife or girlfriend or whoever, you say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to do an instrumental folk album because you know what? I want to.
Yeah.
You could record it. You could upload it to the internet and people will find it based, and you could find new fans pretty much playing whatever music you wanted to.
Yeah, I think that in that case, I'd better try to promote the music in a better way. And then the next question, do I dare to show the Falconer fans the music I do in the future?
Oh, boy. Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, we'll see. Do the Falconer fans gonna buy a Tropical House, for example?
Let's see. Yeah, let's see how deep your love runs then, right?
Yeah. some synth wave. That's really good quality music, I think. I mean, when I'm born in 76, so I mean, I've listened to a lot of 80s music, and I love 80s music. So,
I have been listening to a lot of synth wave because I'm a big video game player.
Yeah.
And in the background when I'm playing my video games, I have really, really been getting into synthwave music as I'm playing my video. It makes for a great background track.
Yeah.
I really
love the music. if you take synthwave and just put double bass drums and distorted guitars, it's going to sound pretty much as heavy metal. Yes. I mean, the melodies and the compositions are quite similar.
I'm
not saying that I'm currently doing synthwave. That's what I'm saying.
This will be headlines. He once talked about it on an interview. Ever see the light of day.
Yeah.
Well, in your free time, as you know, because effectively Falconer is you know, the album From a Dying Ember releases Friday, the 26th. What are you doing now to get your musical outlet? Or maybe you're just a family man now. Maybe you're like me. I went fishing yesterday. Is a part of you going to be missing Falconer here? Or are you going to be doing something to replace it now? Because for example, I where I'm going with this, my girlfriend, her father tunes pianos, and he tunes them actually by ear. One of the few people in the country to use his ear to tune them. And he was a musician playing in very famous bars and restaurants in the area here at in evenings for like the dinner crowds and weddings and stuff. Yeah. Well, for him, he still every night still goes down and just plays songs on the piano, because even though he's not doing it for a job anymore, he just still loves music.
Yeah.
Is music still a hobby for you, even though the Falconer chapter is over?
Yes, it is. And now I've actually found the flame again, so to speak. I love the fact to just try out different kind of things, just using the keyboard, for example. I've never done that in the past. What kind of melodies do you come up with on a keyboard? Because I'm pretty lousy keyboard player, so all the mistakes can make eventual new pathways to tread on, so to speak. Okay, well, the wrong note, that sounded good. I'm not going to take the wrong note on the guitar, because I know that after an A, I'm going to probably take an F or a C. It's just too predictable. So yes, I'm still doing music, but it's, yeah, one song is really, really different from the other. So
And do you get the same reward doing that as you do writing Falconer stuff?
Yeah, both yes and no, because I love that it's something different and I'm learning something, but also I don't really come to the goal because I don't get satisfied with the result because I don't know the craft of that kind of music yet, so to speak.
Oh, I got what you're saying.
I mean, a metal song, that's two guitars, a bass, and a drum kit, and then you're home. If you're going to do some other kind of music, then okay, what kind of instrument do you use in the verse? And do you use the same instrument for the entire track? We replace it after the verse into the pre-chorus. I'm just too stuck in my own creative loop, so to speak. I want to break free from it and think in different kind of ways. So it's a bit of a struggle, but it's fun too.
Well, it has been a pleasure speaking for you here. I'd be remiss if I did not thank you, because as I told you before, you know, as I was getting into metal, I was like a junior in high school, you know, 18. Yeah. And that's when I first found you guys. Right when your self-title came out, that was actually when I, not to make you feel old here, but I graduated high school in 2001. And that's right when I found you. So okay. Falconer has been with me through my own personal metal journey.
Yeah.
And I know that there's many fans around the world who are just like me, that Falconer's been that, you know, Falconer's been my battle jacket that I put on. I really appreciate 20 years that you've given us in the metal world.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Is there one album that I think maybe From a Dying, maybe your guy's best yet? Maybe you disagree with me. Maybe, you know, Chapters, maybe your favorite. Is there one album?
It's really hard to judge the new album after just a couple of months, because you most of the times you love the new album the most. But I mean, that's been 2 years or something. But if I don't count From a Dying Ember, I would say Northwind, without a doubt.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, was it hard on Northwind? I just pulled it back up, totally forgetting it. 14 tracks on Northwind. How was that for you guys, writing 14 tracks?
Not really a problem. I think four of the songs were actually traditional folk songs that we rewrote. And I mean, we got the new spark when we got Matthias back, and everything just rolled and all the fans just cheered it. So, of course, that sparked a new creativity too. And I mean, back then you didn't really have that much other things to do than just do music. So I had all the time in the world to write songs.
Yep. Well, Stefan, I will give you the floor here. I'll let you say anything you want to say here before we wrap it up. I could talk to you for hours. This has been a honor to speak to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I will take the opportunity to thank all our fans in the States. And hope that you've had just a good override as we've done in the band. And yep. Hope that you all think that this last album is a fitting farewell for the band, and don't really disappoint anyone, or that you will think that, you can really hear that this is a farewell album, because it's not really up to par. And you can hear that they're tired of the music, because no, I've not never been this hungry on doing a Falconer album as I did the last one. So it's just one of the best albums we've did.
That's I love the way you sum that up.
We'll see if you're going to hear from us in the future, or me, or if I'm going to come up with some strange synthwave of folk music. We'll see if I dare to publish it anywhere.
Well, you know, it has been a honor to speak to you, sir. Again, from a Dying Ember, releases June 26th on Metal Blade Records. Please go buy it, support these guys, listen to it. Of course, it's everywhere music is sold. You can stream it on all your platforms. You know, don't pirate it from some Russian in Siberia who's just uploading music. It's really go out and support these guys. Stefan, it's a pleasure to speak to you, sir, and we'll talk to you again.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you, sir.